Welcome to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Fox News: Golden State Warriors Klay Thompson practiced at full speed on Tuesday after resuming 5-on-5 full-court scrimmaging. Thompson is making a comeback from surgery last November for a torn right Achilles tendon. He missed the previous season due to a torn ACL in his left knee. The Raptors continue their six-game road swing tonight when they visit the Grizzlies in Memphis. Toronto is coming off a 119-104 loss to the Warriors on Sunday, while the Grizzlies edged the Jazz 119-118 on Monday. The Raptors have won a single game in their last four outings. In the NFL, Adrian Peterson didn't last very long with the Tennessee Titans, waived after just three games, replaced by the signing of running back Dontrell Hilliard from practice squad. Peterson started two games on 27 carries for 82 yards and a 3-point yard average per rushing attempt and one touchdown run. The Titans also signed defensive back Buster Screen and outside linebacker John Simon, replacing defensive back Chris Jackson and wide receiver Marcus Johnson on injured reserve. Bears head coach Mike Nagy spent half of his press conference on Tuesday dealing with reports saying he has been told he will no longer coach a team after Thursday's game in Detroit. The report about the firing was published by Patch.com and was described by Nagy as not accurate. The Bears go to Thanksgiving on a 5-game losing streak that leaves them 3-7. The Giants have fired offensive coordinator Jason Garrett after a dreadful performance in a nationally televised game against the Buccaneers. There is no immediate word on who would replace Garrett for the game Sunday at MetLife Stadium against the Eagles. Former Cleveland Browns coach Freddie Kitchens is on the staff and could take over. NHL news: a former player who sued the Chicago Blackhawks had agreed to a mediation in hopes of settling the case. Cal Beach says the team did nothing when he raised allegations of sexual assault against assistant coach Bradley Aldridge in 2010. An investigation commissioned by the team largely found that to be true. The fallout included top executives losing their jobs and an NHL fine of $2 million. Lightning star Braden Point is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks because of an upper body injury suffered in Saturday's loss to New Jersey. Point appeared to be favoring his left shoulder and arm after crashing hard in the inboards as a result of being tripped in the third period. Point had an NHL best 14 goals in last season's playoffs. The MLB: former Major League outfielder and manager Bill Verdun had died in a Missouri medical center at the age of 90. Verdun was a career .267 hitter in 12 seasons with St. Louis and Pittsburgh, winning a World Series in 1960 with the Pirates and a Gold Glove in 1962. He was 995-921, during a 13-year managerial career that featured stints with Pittsburgh, the New York Yankees, Houston, and Montreal. Outfielder Clint Frazier and infielder Ruben Odor have been released by the Yankees after clearing waivers 4 days after they were designated for assignment. Frazier hit .186 with 5 homers and 15 RBIs this year. Odor batted .202 with 15 homers and 39 RBIs and 322 at-bats. Major League Baseball and the Players Union have agreed to move the upcoming tender deadline due to a looming work stoppage. The deadline has been moved from December 2nd to November 30th. The sports collective bargaining agreement expires December 1st at 11:59 p.m. and it's not expected that MLB and the union will agree on a new deal before then.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
gonna be rare. Ah, Friday and Saturday nights on CKDJ 107. Ah, Tyler Theater, Greg Anagoropoulos, and Boa giving you the play-by-play of non-stop hockey. Here, Cole Bennett, Jeff Taylor, and Ryan Lieberman lead the Raiders against the Ottawa Junior Senators on November 28th. Puck drops at 2:30 on Sunday. Oh, yeah!
Hello and good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Press Box. We are your hosts, Greg Avgaropoulos, Aaron Zerfus, and Tyler Sear. We have an improvement from last week as we have three hosts instead of two. This week we are missing Josh, who was feeling a little under the weather, so hopefully he can get back to us soon.
Come on.
We will probably see him next week, and hopefully we can have a full roster next week.
I think so.
Let's hope.
Kind of sucks that we're all getting sick, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, better get out of the way early.
We'll be ready to go every week.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had one good week. It was the first one. That was it. So, welcome to the Press Box.
Yeah.
In fantasy hockey this week, we have some players that are kind of flying under the radar right now. To start things off, it's Oliver Killington of the Calgary Flames. The defender is owned in only 13% of leagues, according to ESPN. And the Flames are one of the hottest teams in the league right now, no pun intended, and Killington's playing a big part of their success and looks to be moving forward. The other one is Kaylor Yamamoto, best known for riding shotgun with Leon Draisaitl and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Yamamoto's owned in only 7.3% of leagues in ESPN, and with tons of bad matchups coming up with Oilers, looking at Chicago, Arizona, and the surprisingly leaky Vegas Golden Knights, Yamamoto has a good opportunity to pick up some points.
All right, on to our NFL waiver wire pickups. Kadarius Toney has been looking like the wide receiver one for the Giants. He's only in his first year and has gotten seven or more targets in four of his eight career games so far. New York also fired their offensive coordinator the other day, Jason Garrett. This should hopefully get Toney a bit more involved in the offense. He's only rostered in 55% of leagues. Marquez Valdes-Scantling broke through for the Green Bay Packers last week. He might finally be emerging as the wide receiver two that Green Bay needs, and he is their number one deep threat. He had seven targets last week, which he turned to four catches for 123 yards and a touchdown. If you need some receiver depth on your fantasy team, I would definitely pick him up, as he's only rostered in 17% of leagues.
Your local sports update for the Press Box this week. The Nepean Raiders lost a hard-fought game against the Pembroke Lumber Kings last weekend. There's a game this weekend on Sunday against the Ottawa Junior Senators at 2:30. For the OWHL, the Central York Panthers currently sit on the throne as they have 9 wins and 1 loss in 10 games. Their winning percentage sits at a staggering 0.900%. The Nepean Wildcats are right behind them in second place as they are 7-1, but also have 2 games in hand over the Panthers, so it should be interesting. And the Ottawa Lady 67s have had a rough start to their season. That being said, it's not horrible as they currently sit at 4-4-1. But with their talent, it's only about time until they, you know, pop off. Anything else, boys, fantasy-wise? Aaron, how you liking your team?
Still undefeated.
Okay.
Doing just fine.
Cool. Greg?
Yeah, he may be undefeated, but, you know, I have the most points in the league, so.
Great. And guess what? Yeah. I also have the most injured players in the league, so I top both of you. I'm
fair enough.
Both of you.
Can't argue with that logic.
I am.
Just not in the standings, though, because I'm at the top in the standings.
I will, little fantasy tip for you folks out there. If you're losing, go into, you know, your free agency pool and just pick up all the really good guys that are on the IR, because eventually they're not going to be on the IR.
See, this is what I don't understand. You know, I don't understand why people drop They're fantasy players just because they're on IR. I don't get it. I just keep my guys on IR. I never drop them because I don't want anyone else to get them.
Well,
I just keep them.
To give you an example, I have Braden Point. I have Nathan MacKinnon. I have I just picked up Jack Hughes. I mean, everyone is getting hurt. That's like a really good top three forwards right there. That's like a good like 40 points a week kind of thing. Nathan MacKinnon gets me alone 15 points a week. And then Braden Point does the same thing. And then Jack Hughes is supposed to pop off. He has been popping off, even though, you know, his shoulder's in a different place. So I picked all three of them up. I'm already losing. Mine as well, you know. I think it's a good choice.
If you want a better fantasy tip, don't get your fantasy advice from Tyler.
Hey. Hey now.
That's a good tip.
I own our league, okay?
You own our league, but you're at the bottom of the standings in our league as well.
I'm not at the bottom of the standings. I'm right in the middle.
Sorry.
I'm 3-3.
My bad. Sorry.
I don't
Everyone's in the bottom compared to me.
I mean, I did lose to someone who barely plays, but that's okay. That's okay. It's all right. That's not. Why are we heckling me? Why am I getting attacked today? Am I the target? Is it because Josh isn't here, so I'm the target now?
Technically, you're always the target because we don't really target Josh.
Yeah, well, a little message to Josh. Come back. Yeah.
Yeah, we miss you, Josh.
Just come back. Mm. I mean, we get it. You feel a little under the weather, but come back. Yeah. And don't go to a restaurant.
So. Unlike our boy Tyler over here.
Hey. Hey. Hey.
Hey, man.
I was getting heckled because I was sick, and then I went to a restaurant for breakfast. But, like, I knew I didn't have COVID.
He went to a restaurant instead of coming and doing the press box with us. That's what he did.
Well, yeah, I couldn't
speak. He chose food over his boys.
I didn't have a voice. I didn't have a voice. What do you want me to do?
I beg to differ.
Well, now I got my voice. So, yeah. All right, well, this has been your press box fantasy update. We've got a great show for you guys this week. Let's get into it, shall we?
Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Stick around for later in the show. There's going to be some more information on the Nepean Raiders. But now we've got the NFL game picks of the week. I'm going to hand it over to Greg, and we're going to get ourselves started.
Thank you, Tyler. I will take over here. So, as we know, tonight is... today is the Thanksgiving games, and we have our first game of the day is the Chicago Bears versus the Detroit Lions. The Bears are favored by 3.5, and they had a tough loss last week against the Ravens, which they lost in a heartbreaking game-winning touchdown. And it looks like Detroit is going to get their starting quarterback back. Jared Goff looks like he's finally going to play again. And I'm going to take the Lions. I think they're finally going to break through and get their first win this game. What do you guys think?
I think the same thing. I think I'm just going to keep saying the Lions until they get one.
I think it's a good strategy. Aaron, yeah. What do you think?
Why are you guys going with a team that hasn't won one yet?
Because...
They got to get one at some point, right? This week is the week.
I can't stick with that. No, Lions lose.
All right, let's go to the Raiders and the Cowboys. The Cowboys came off a tough loss last week against the Chiefs. They did not look like themselves. Obviously, Amari Cooper was out with COVID, and CeeDee Lamb got a concussion. They are favored by 7 points, though. I do think they're going to win this game, but I think the Raiders are going to cover the 7 points.
I think the Ravens are going to win. I don't think the Cowboys win. So,
Cowboys win and Cowboys cover.
All right, on to the Buffalo Bills and the New Orleans Saints, the night game for tonight. Obviously, my Bills, my favorite team, they got embarrassed last week, as we know. It was terrible. I was having an awful time. It was a depressing week. But, let's see. They're favored by 3.5 going to New Orleans, and Buffalo obviously is just they're a better team. They've been struggling. To be honest, I'm never going to bet on a Bills game again because I don't feel comfortable doing it. So I'm gonna just hand it over to you guys. I'm not going to pick anything.
Yeah, Saints. Saints are winning. They're in a bit of a slump right now. You can't go for the Bills right now because every time you seem to, they just lose. So Aaron,
yeah, I'm not picking.
I'll do Bills. I'll show Greg some support here.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
All right. Tennessee.
You're showing him support by having them lose. Go ahead.
All right. Tennessee and New England. New England's favored by 4.5. They're on like a 4-game winning streak. They've been one of the hottest teams in the league. I'm not going to pick against them. I think they're going to win this game, and they will cover against Tennessee.
I agree. Not much else to say. Aaron?
Yeah. Being from the States, you never bet against the Pates, so... Yep, New England wins. New England covers.
All right, on to this travesty of a game. The Jets and the Texans, two of the worst teams in the league. We don't need to spend too much time on this. I'll take the Texans to win and to cover. They're favored by 3.
Yeah, no. Go Jets. I think the Jets are going to win this one. So Jets win. Aaron?
Jets continue their losing ways. Texans win. Texans cover.
Okay, Eagles, Giants. NFC East matchup. The Eagles are favored by 3. They've been playing some good football lately. The Giants have been kind of struggling. I'll take the Eagles to win. I think they're going to cover the 3, and yeah.
I think the Giants are going to win. Yep. Not much else to say about that. It says what? Giants are favored?
The Eagles are favored by 3.
Yeah, no, I think the Giants are going to win. No.
I think it's going to be Eagles win, Eagles cover, and it's going to be easy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
On to the Buccaneers and the Colts. The Colts, obviously, as we said, big win last week against the Bills. The Bucs finally got back on track as they won on Monday night against the Giants. They are favored by 3 in this game. I think they're going to win by more than 3 points, to be honest. I don't think Indianapolis is that good. But, I mean, obviously, they have the best running back in the league right now, Jonathan Taylor. This could be close, but I'm going to take the Buccaneers to win and to cover.
Can we just pause there for a second? Taylor, I don't know if he's the best running back in the league or if he just had a really good week. You know?
At the moment, I think he is. He's the leader in rushing yards in the league right now. He's got the most yards per carry. He's kind of a tank, to be honest.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, hey, those, what was it, five? He had five
scored
touchdowns?
Five touchdowns.
Jesus, man.
First half.
I guess I got to go with the Colts. Yeah, Colts.
Aaron, go ahead.
I'm taking Colts, too. Yeah.
That's fair.
Yep.
All right, Falcons-Jags, once again. Nobody really cares about this game. Not really a good game. I mean, the Falcons are only favored by 1 point. I'm going to take the Jags. I think they're going to win this game, and they're going to cover.
I think Falcons win. Yeah.
Yeah, Falcons win, Falcons cover. It's just they're a slightly better team.
That's fair enough. I just want to go with the underdog because why not?
I just need Kyle Pitts to win.
For fantasy, yep.
That's literally it. So.
All right, the Panthers and the Dolphins. Cam's second start back in Carolina. I think he's finally going to get his first win back in Carolina. They're favored by 1.5. I think they're going to win this game, and then they're going to cover because I don't think the Dolphins are very good.
I completely agree with you. Cam Newton in Carolina is a different story. Like, Cam Newton in Carolina is just, it's so fun to watch
it's
again.
Fun. They did have a tough loss last week, but I think they're going to get his first one back this week.
Newton and the Panthers win this week. Easy.
Aaron?
I think the Dolphins win. I mean, what's the spread? I think it's going to be a close game.
I mean, it's only like 1 point, I think.
No, okay. Well, then.
What?
It's maybe. 1.5. It's only 1.5.
Why is it 1 point? 1.5. How is it 1 point?
It's, you know. It's
the Panthers are so much better than the Dolphins.
I mean.
Are they?
I don't even know if they are, to be honest.
Well, they had a really good start to the year.
I'm going Dolphins.
All right, well, here.
All right. Let's move on. The Steelers and the Bengals, AFC North matchup. Bengals have, you know, they've kind of been up and down this season. Let's see if they can fight for a playoff spot. The Steelers, heartbreaking loss against the Chargers last week. The Bengals are favored by 4 points. I do think the Bengals are going to win, and I think they're going to cover.
Bengals win and Bengals cover.
Yeah, not to make this one boring, but Bengals win, Bengals cover.
Yeah. All right, Chargers, Broncos. Not much that needs to be said. I think the Chargers are way better than the Broncos. They're only favored by 2. I'm kind of surprised by that. But, I'll take the Chargers to win and easily cover 2 points.
I agree with Greg. Chargers win, Chargers cover.
Yeah, no, this one I'll throw a wrench. I'll go Broncos. Broncos. The Broncos win, don't cover.
All right, Minnesota and San Francisco, Aaron's team here.
That's right.
They are underdogs in this game. San Francisco is favored by 1.5. San Francisco has looked a lot better in recent weeks, and Minnesota, obviously, a big win last week against Green Bay. I'm going to take Minnesota here, the underdog in this game, but I think they've looked pretty good. They looked pretty good last week. Obviously, San Francisco has too, but I'm going to take the Vikings in this game.
I'm also going to take the Vikings.
I'm obviously going to take the Vikings, yep. And they win based off of kind of a fluky play because it's about time.
All right, probably the game of the week here, the Rams and the Packers. Two teams at the top of the NFC. The Packers are only favored by 1.5. That's how you know this is going to be a good game. I think the Rams are going to finally get back on track. They've lost 2 in a row. I think they're going to win this game. I think they're going to cover.
Woo! Let's go Rams, baby! Rams are winning this game. It ain't even close. Ain't even going to be close. Not even a little bit.
I think Stafford's going to get, like, mad yards, man. Like, easy.
I hope for the fantasy team.
Oh, my God. Yo, it's not even going to be close. Let's go. Let's go, LA.
I'll take LA, too.
Let's go.
I'm not going for the Packers ever.
Let's move on. We got 2 more games here. The Browns and the Ravens, AFC North matchup. The Ravens are favored by 4.5. Lamar's probably going to come back. He missed last week, but they still got a win. I just think they're way better than the Browns right now. The Browns have not looked very good. They barely beat the Lions, who don't even have a win yet.
Sucked.
And I'll take the Ravens to win it to cover 4.5.
Oh, 100%. Ravens. Ravens win, Ravens cover.
Yeah, same. Ravens and Ravens
the
again.
The Browns are just, yeah. They're brown.
All okay. Right, last game of the week, the Seahawks and the Washington football team. You know, the Seahawks are favored by 2.5, which I don't really understand considering they have not looked good in the last 2 weeks. Russell Wilson's came back. He has not looked good. And Washington has looked pretty good. They have 2 straight wins now. Taylor Heineke's been playing well. And I think Washington's going to win this game. They're underdogs by 2.5, but I think they're going to pull through and win this game and cover.
I want to agree with you, but you know, my gut feeling is just telling me that Russell Wilson's going to like play really well and that the Seahawks are going to win. So, yeah, I'm going to go Seahawks. Aaron?
I'm taking Washington as well.
No, like, that's fair enough. Like that's understandable. Just I got a gut feeling. So.
All right, that has been our Press Box weekly game picks for the NFL.
All right, thank you, Greg. On to the NHL now. Let's talk about the Ottawa Senators first because, obviously, we're in Ottawa.
Can't argue with that.
What was that?
And there's
can't
only one
argue
Ottawa
with
fan
that.
The Ottawa Senators have come out of COVID protocol and did inevitably play in Colorado on Monday night. The games that have been postponed have not all been rescheduled yet, except for the New Jersey one, which is scheduled for the 6th of December. Also, did you guys see those New Jersey alternate jerseys?
The
jersey?
They're terrible.
The jersey? Yeah, the glove jersey.
They're terrible.
I like the jokes about it. I did not like the
jerseys. Well, so New Jersey actually chirped themselves. They said, I can't remember what it was. Oh, right. They said they were going to put on a hat and just put hat across it.
I hope they do.
That would be hilarious.
I hope
they do.
That would
be pretty funny. Or they just put helmet on their helmet.
Yeah. Tim Stützle is on the rise after scoring his first goal of the year a couple weeks ago. And after this lengthy COVID protocol break for the Ottawa Senators roster, one can only think about the hopeful rise for Tim Stützle. Stützle is sitting with a low 6 points in 15 games this season. He did get one on Monday in Colorado this season with a very low winning Ottawa Senators squad at the moment. But any hockey fan can just tell how dangerous he is. Like,
he's very creative.
He makes the game different on a nightly basis, and it's only a matter of time before he just pops off and he gets a bunch of goals. So we're gonna see that. We saw that with Kirill Kaprizov, or is it Kaprizov?
Kaprizov.
It's Kaprizov. Yeah. So we saw that with Kirill, and I'm just waiting. I'm excited. So Colorado was not a good game. It wasn't. Scored 5 goals. Yeah, Sanford hat trick. Woohoo! But come on, you can't turn over the puck as much as they did, and Josh Brown literally gave the other team the puck in our own zone, right in the high slot, and it went in the net. Like, of course it's going to go in the net. Like, can you not tell the difference between purple and white?
Hey,
like,
man,
seriously.
Sometimes it's just going so fast, dude, out there, and you just don't know what's happening.
Purple and white.
No, I agree. They're 2 different colors, but
they are very far on the color spectrum.
No,
they're
I
like
agree.
On opposite ends.
I agree. I mean,
whatever.
But, I mean, you should know. Sometimes you used to play hockey, or you still do, kind of, but you should know, sometimes it's going so fast out there and it's hard to, you zone out sometimes.
I understand, but not in my own zone.
No, I mean, hey, sometimes people panic when they're in their own
zone. Fair enough. All right, well, I'm going to hand it over to you, Aaron, who's going to talk about JT Miller.
Yeah, so some rumors being floated out right now is JT Miller, the center for Vancouver, so we're all aware, is being included in trade talks to Minnesota with Kevin Fiala and either like a second rounder or Greenway or something like that floating back to Vancouver. For the Wild, my team, I think that'd be great. The organization hasn't really shown much trust in Fiala, only taking him to arbitration last year, giving him a 1-year deal. And they don't seem to want to keep it going long-term with him for whatever reason. I personally like Fiala, but if we got Miller back, that's the number one center that we haven't had ever in our franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So he could be point per game, playing him with Kaprizov just is very exciting. And he's on a good contract for this year and next year, locked in at just over $5 million. So kind of curious through our cap buyout penalty times. But yeah, for Vancouver, I mean, is that going to be another rebuild?
I thought Fiala was like a superstar for the Wild. I didn't think
he was mistaken.
Well, I guess so. I didn't know he was ever a point per game player, and I didn't even know JT Miller was a point per game player. And listen, I know a lot about the NHL, but I didn't know that. So Now that I think about it, it is a pretty good trade for you guys. I'd love to have Kevin Fiala in Ottawa. So,
yeah, it's just like, what does I don't think it, the trade doesn't make sense for me if I'm Vancouver.
No, I agree.
Like, Miller's been about your only player who's been producing this year, so they've kind of...
Well, you know, it's another... Fiala's only played in Minnesota, correct?
Preds for a little bit.
Oh, we got him from Nashville. Eh? That's right. I forgot about that. Was he better in Nashville?
No.
He was younger, and then he broke his leg. Yeah. So.
That's what's stopping him.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a Cristiano Ronaldo situation. Ronaldo was a young kid. He could always dribble the ball super quick, and then he had an injury, and now he can't do that, so... Mm-hmm. But, hey, they're still a very, very dominant player. You guys don't follow soccer. But Ronaldo currently has 3 game-winning goals in the last 15 minutes of a Champions League game in the last 3 games. So,
let's go back to hockey.
Here, all right, okay?
So, basically, that trade, Kevin Fiala, I remember last year at the trade deadline when the Leafs were kind of making a playoff push. They were first in the division. I really wanted them to trade for Kevin Fiala because he's just a good player. I just like the way he plays. Obviously, he's never been like a superstar, but I really wanted the Leafs to trade for him, and he's been playing really well in Minnesota. I know he's not point per game, obviously, but he's at least half point per game, and he's been pretty good. And, you know, obviously Minnesota, as you said, they get the number one center if they trade for JT Miller. But maybe Vancouver wants to trade JT Miller because they think they can get a lot back, like not just Kevin Fiala, but maybe they can get some picks or some young players. I don't know, but I think that'd be a good trade for both teams if they can work something out.
Yeah, and Fiala being younger than Miller definitely kind of plays into it. Like, if Vancouver, if they're already thinking that they're not going to re-sign Miller, either because of cap or just because he's going to command too much money that they're going to need to save for, well, like Besser, Hughes, and stuff, then, you know, that makes sense. But Miller's a very important part of their team.
Well,
and if they lose him,
then Hughes and Pettersson were both re-signed this year, so that's
fine. Is Besser on the contract?
I think so.
I don't think he signed a new one, but I think he's got a year left.
Did he get locked up?
I think he's got a year left.
Okay.
Let's go to the Olympic roster debates. Aaron, you want to start us off here?
Yeah.
But do we want to start with the jerseys? What do you feel?
Let's do jerseys.
Okay, well, so today is Wednesday. That's when we record the show. The jerseys came out this morning, and
Canada's are awful.
We hate them.
I don't like them.
No, I don't think anybody does. The whites are okay. The rest are dreadful.
Yeah, whites are passable. The other ones, I just...
So, listen, we're going to go...
I don't know what they did with the leaf.
I don't know either. It looks terrible.
Let's go around the room. Greg, 1 out of 10? Out of 10?
For all three in general?
Go Canada and the States. What would you call...
Okay. Oh, this is easy for me. Canada, like a 3. USA, I mean, I kind of like it. It's simple. It's clean. I'm going to go 7 for the USA.
Okay, I'm going to say... So it does matter. Like, the white one for Canada is pretty good. I'd say, like, a 7 for the white one. But the others kind of bring that down. So I'm going to say, like, a 5 for Canada and then a 7 for the States. I think the States, every time the Olympics happen, they just seem to pass on a really good opportunity to make really nice jerseys. So, Aaron?
Yep, Canada... Canada, I'll go 4. If it wasn't with the whites, I'd give it a 2. I don't know what they're doing with the all black jersey there, and like I said, the leaf just it looks weird with the highlighted lines in the middle. I think they try too hard to make a leaf. And US, I'll go. The US white is also their best. It looks really nice, and I like their darker blue one better than the other blue one, the like baby blue.
Yep.
But as a package, I give it a 7. It's 7. Passable. We'll see how it looks on TV. But
yeah, we'll see. I mean, the socks might make a big difference. You never know, right?
Yep.
We haven't seen the white jerseys as a uniform yet. I mean, the white jerseys for Team Canada look awesome. I think they could have done a little better, but I like them. So we'll see. And
the roster debates.
Spurgeon and Chabot. There are 2 players. We got about a minute and a half. Let's do this.
All right. So Spurgeon's definitely not going to be a popular choice, but let me just kind of throw this out here.
Yeah.
All right. That guy, if he was in a Canadian market, he'd be a well-known name. He'd be a perennial all-star. He plays big minutes. He just doesn't make any mistakes. You know, Canada's going to want... they have enough, like, offensive talent. And that Spurgeon, well, like, he's pretty solid. He's not like Dougie Hamilton. Cam
See,
McCarr.
I feel the same way, but with Thomas Chabot. Like, if Thomas Chabot played for a bigger market, I think he'd be so much better. Greg, anything?
I mean, I agree with what Aaron said with Jared Spurgeon. I also think he's a good player. Obviously, me and Tyler here, we don't watch a lot of Minnesota Wild games here because, I mean, it's Minnesota. But fair. I agree. Every time I've seen him play, I mean, he is a good player. I agree. If he was in Toronto or, like, Montreal, Boston, something like a big market like that, he'd be well-known. People would talk about him. I don't think he's going to make the Olympic team, unfortunately. There's a lot of good defensemen on the Canada Olympic team. I mean, McCarr, Dougie Hamilton, Petrangelo, Shea Theodore. There's a lot. I mean, Darnell Nurse, maybe. I mean, there's a lot of good defensemen on Team Canada.
Medal predictions.
Wait. So with Spurgeon, can we at least agree he makes Canada B team? The hypothetical?
Yes. Sure, yes. Easy.
Yes, there it is.
Easy.
All right. We're doing medals?
Medal predictions. Aaron, go first.
U.S. gold, of course. The defense and goalies, they're going to play out. Canada, well, they have the best forwards in the world. I'm not going to deny that.
It's not close either.
It's not close.
Yeah.
I think defense and goalies. Canada wins the group play, sure. U.S. comes back and wins in the gold. Canada, silver, and Sweden, bronze.
I mean, I do agree. I do agree with the prediction. Obviously, I want Canada to win the gold. But, I mean, looking at USA's team, like, their defense corps just looks better than ours. Their goalies are mountains better than ours. Like, they have three number ones, and we have Jordan Binnington, who's kind of a psychopath. Carey Price, who might not. I don't know. We don't really know if he's going to play or not. And, yeah, those are pretty much our goalies. And, obviously, our forwards are way better, but their defense and goalies are better. I'm still going to go Canada gold, USA silver, and I'm also going to go Sweden bronze.
I'm going to go Canada gold, USA silver, and Germany bronze.
We're not doing this, man. Come on.
Dreisaitl is not better they have two than good Sweden, players. Russia, and Finland.
Do you know who Germany's number one defenseman is?
No.
Corbinian Holzer. Do you know who Corbinian Holzer is?
No.
He plays in the KHL. He was on the Leafs. He was terrible. He was really bad like years ago.
Germany bronze.
Okay. I guess we're doing this.
All right. Well, this has been the NHL conversation. We're going to take a little bit of a break, and then we'll be right back. But Germany bronze.
Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box. We don't have a lot for the NBA today. Josh usually runs that, so I'm going to hand it over to Greg, and we're going to give it our best shot.
All right. First of all, Josh, we missed you, buddy. Second of all, Klay Thompson is designated to return soon. So is James Wiseman. So that's going to be a big bump for Golden State, obviously. They don't really need a huge bump considering they're 15-2, and they've been one of the best teams, if not the best team in basketball recently. Steph Curry playing at an MVP level once again. He's been the best player in the league, in my opinion. I think he's going to win the MVP. It's going to be great to see Wiseman and Klay Thompson back. We've never actually seen Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and James Wiseman all play together. And Draymond Green, obviously, all play together. So this should be fun. The Christmas games are coming up soon. Obviously, Christmas games in the NBA, always a big thing every year. And the Warriors, they're kind of just getting scarier every day, especially Klay. If he comes healthy, he's going to be obviously one of the best shooters ever. He might even be the best shooter ever, but I don't know if we're ready for that debate yet. But, I mean, once again, one of the best players in the league when he's healthy. Great shooter. Wiseman, only coming off an injury. It's his second year this year. He had a pretty good rookie year until he got injured, and it's going to be fun to see him back. I liked what I saw from him last year. I think he's a good player, a good rebounder, can kind of shoot a little bit. I think he's a good player. Number three pick last year, I think. I think he's pretty good. And let's go into this LeBron James and Stewart, the little scuffle they had the other day.
Oh, boy.
Just a little one.
Just a little.
Isaiah Stewart running across the court was the funniest thing in the world.
It was so funny.
I was laughing so hard. Oh, my gosh. Hey. He's like, can you not tell that you're not supposed to run? There's like 10 people trying to stop you. You shouldn't be getting through. The fact that you are still trying to get through is just embarrassing.
If I'm LeBron on the other side, though, I'm terrified looking at that. He's mauling people. He's just going right through them. They looked miniature compared to him. Like, he was just stomping on them, getting right through. And at one point, when they escorted him to the locker room. He ran to try to get to their locker room and come out the other side so we can go get LeBron. To be honest, I understand the anger. I think I was a little over top. I mean, LeBron kind of did like punch slash elbow him in the face. It looked like it was on purpose to me. Obviously, they both got suspended.
No, it was aggressive. Like, he put force.
Yes,
into
no, it.
Like,
was intentional for
like,
sure.
Like, Bron was pissed. Like, you could tell. Mm-hmm. Like, it was not a little, oh, I'm so sorry, I accidentally hit you. No. It was like, but you see, like, LeBron tried to talk to him after. Like, LeBron must have said something, like, really bad because Isaiah just blew up after that.
Yeah, he, like, wasn't super duper pissed. And then he got really, 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 angry, really mad. Like, ran around the stadium for
Isaiah
minutes.
Stewart, yeah. He was going a little wild. I mean, I kind of do get it, especially, like it was hard the way he hit him. Like, it was, like, it right in the face. It was hard. I don't know why LeBron did it, but obviously they both got suspended. And, yeah, and the Kings also, some news here. The Kings fired Luke Walton, who's their head coach. Kings have not been good for a few years now. There looks like they might start a rebuild. Maybe they trade De'Aaron Fox. Maybe they trade Buddy Hield. Try to progress their young guys like Tyrese Halliburton. And yeah, I mean, let's see if they can rebuild. They haven't been good for a bit. Let's see if they can get back on the wagon. I don't know who they're gonna hire if they have fired or hired somebody yet at the time of this recording. But yeah. So that has been our NBA news for today.
Yeah, that's. I think we did a pretty good job without Josh here. I mean, it kind of sucks that Josh isn't here, but he'll be back next week, and hopefully we'll have a full roster, and we'll be able to talk about, you know, the NBA in a more extensive manner. I mean, he is our eagle when it comes to that, right? He is our, mm-hmm. our eyes, our ears, our nose. He smells everything about it. So, Greg, good job. Thank you.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. We're going to move on to our hot topic for the week, which we wanted to spend a little bit more time on. All right, let's get into our hot topic. Hot topic this week is super awesome. We're gonna talk about sports movies. Yeah. We're gonna rate them. We are by the end of this hot topic, we are going to have a full on, like, we're going to know what our top
list.
Three is. Yeah. Oh,
this
100%.
Is it.
So we're gonna spend about 7 minutes on this. It's gonna be great.
It's gonna be a fun time.
We got a list here. We're just gonna name them off. I'm gonna let Aaron go first. I want your top three, what you think the best movie in the world is, and a honorable mention.
Okay. Let's see. So I'll go Miracle for sure. Best movie in the world. Top one.
Great movie.
Yep. Very, great very movie. Motivational. Got some good humor. You know, I watch it about once every couple of years. Yeah, every time. It's amazing. Then let's see. Number two, I'll do Coach Carter. That was really good.
Great movie.
I got good memories of that.
Can we just talk about something real quick?
Okay, yeah, great. Got it.
Tyler has not seen Coach Carter. And when I heard this, I was freaking out in the studio. I was jumping around. I was very confused. I don't know how you haven't seen Coach Carter. But yeah, sorry to interrupt you, Aaron. Aaron, go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah.
If you have any
movie,
more.
That movie. And then third one, let's see. I'll go Goal, the soccer movie.
Oh.
I don't know if you guys have seen it, but
never seen that one, boys, not going
to
lie.
Such a good movie. It's about a fictional character, and it's so good. It made my mom turn to me and go, that, I forget his name, that guy, he sure had a good career, right? And I was like, he's not real. But it was a good movie, though. It's fun.
Okay, honorable mention.
Honorable mention. I'll say Goon. I've just seen the first one. I haven't seen the second one,
Goon's
I
great.
Don't think. And you know, it's fun. It's good.
We love watching him just break his ankles while he gets into fights. It's great.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
All right, Greg, what is your top three?
All right, here we go here. This is a tough one because I like a lot of sports movies.
Greg seems to be very high on Coach Carter.
Coach Carter's great. It's
even though
movie.
I've never seen Coach Carter, I don't see
Miracle's
the appeal to it.
Probably number one. Right.
Whatever. Okay, I get it.
In my personal list, I mean, what movie do I really like? You know, okay, number one on my list, The Blind Side, such a good movie. I don't know if Tyler's seen that one either.
I have.
He has? Okay, we've all seen it, I think. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a great movie. One of my favorites, Sandra Bullock, really good in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was great, based on a true story, by the way, if you guys didn't know that.
Yep.
But great movie, almost brings me to tears every time I watch it. It's great. I watch it. I probably watch it at least once a month at this point. Like,
oh,
it's
you
great.
Big softy.
Like, I love it. Yeah. Hey, you know me, you know. Number two, that's so tough, man. There's so many good ones. One nobody, probably not a lot of people talk about, but I really like it, is The Longest Yard. I know it's just supposed to be like a funny, stupid movie.
That's a good one.
It's just you know, it just gives you laughs. It's funny. And actually, I got to put Coach Carter, too. Coach Carter's a great movie. I'll put that, too. Three, I'll put Longest Yard. And I got a few honorable mentions. Moneyball, that's such a good movie. If you guys like baseball, such a good movie.
Moneyball's a great movie.
Yeah. Obviously, I mean, I feel like I gotta say this. Like D2, Mighty Ducks. I love that movie. One of my favorites when I was a kid. I know Aaron says he's not a huge fan of it, but I think it's such a good movie. And what else? I got one more here. One more, but there's so many good ones, man. I mean,
they are all good. Like I don't think I'm gonna be able to do a top three.
It's hard, man.
Like honestly, I might just go top five, guys.
Well, what's this? I go up first.
Okay, fine.
I mean, I'm kind of giving honorable mentions. I'm not going top five.
Okay,
I'm
five. Okay, I'll go top three. Just have
honorable mentions. Okay, I gotta say Goon too. I love Goon. Goon's great.
Yeah, Goon's great. I mean, all right. Well, top three. We're gonna start with number three. I'm gonna go up. You know. Oh boy, this is gonna be tough. I'm gonna say Major League. Major League is number three. Okay. Great movie. It is technically a comedy, but it is a great movie. 1989. What was that?
It's a sports movie. It counts.
It is a sports movie. It's a great movie. Number two. Oh, boy. I am a hockey guy.
Miracle.
Miracle's such a good movie, too. I should have put that in mind, too. I should have put that in mind.
It's so good.
I didn't even think about it at the time.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to put Miracle because I really liked seeing Coach and all that. So, but number one is going to be a bit off the limb. You may have seen it. You may have not seen it. Number one, I'm gonna go Mystery Alaska.
Heard of it? I haven't seen it.
Hey, I don't think I've seen it. Hold on, let me Google it.
It is a great movie. Wow. A little bit of context. There's this team from Alaska that plays on a lake, and they told the New York Rangers that they were better than them, and they said, "Come down to Alaska and we'll play you." And they almost beat them.
I will say, doesn't have great reviews here, from what I'm seeing.
Really?
Only 37% are Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes is a bit iffy, though. They don't think Idiocracy is a good movie.
That's fair. Anything, like any Adam Sandler movie, is like a zero or whatever.
Yeah.
But it says, you know.
They're a little bit serious.
6.7 on IMDb, you know. That's, I mean, IMDb is kind of credible.
This is a great movie for anyone looking to watch a hockey movie, you know. And I really think this is a good one. It's a 1999 Disney movie, so. Some honorable mentions. Now, I got a question for you guys. What is considered a sport? What isn't considered a sport? Because my first honorable mention, and what I was going to put it for, is
Dodgeball.
Ford versus Ferrari.
What is that?
It's a technical, racing. It's a movie. It's kind of a documentary, but it's not a documentary. It's a movie about Ford versus
recent,
Ferrari in the 1970s?
I've seen the movie. It is a good movie. It's got, what's his name?
It has
right, is that it?
No, it's got Matt Damon in it. It's got Christian Bale in it.
Christian
it's got
Bale.
Josh Lucas, and it's got, I don't know, I can't say her name. Kate Balfe. So, it's a movie about Ford and how they were trying to, you know, beat Ferrari at the 24 Hours of Le Mans, which is a 24-hour race that happens in Le Mans, France. And very good movie. Another just, like, must-watch if you're into that kind of stuff. And Matt Damon plays a great role. So
yeah, even if you're not into it, like, I'm not into cars, like, at all.
Me neither.
And I really like that movie.
I think that movie really started, like, a bit of an inspiration for me to look into a lot of Le Mans and I watched the Ferrari documentary talking about all the years right before they lost to Ford, because that was a really, like, defeating loss for Ferrari. But that documentary that you could find on Netflix is really sad, because they just talk about all the drivers they killed. Like, I think they killed about 16 of them in 10 years. So motorsport is a very dangerous
sport. Got one more honorable mention.
Go ahead.
I don't know if you guys seen it. Dodgeball.
It's a good honorable mention.
It's just funny. It's a funny movie.
It's a funny movie.
Vince Vaughn, you know, it's just kind of, once again, what kind of a stupid movie. It wouldn't get rated very high, but it's like every time I watch it, it's always on TV. It's so funny. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. It's great.
All
right, well, these have been our honorable mentions. One more, I'd say Slapshot. I mean,
yeah, I was
going to
say
go
Slapshot's
slap
good
shot,
too.
So. Yeah. These have been. This has been our press box hot topic. We're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be back with some news for that.
Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Up next on the Press Box, we've got a little bit of a U Sports update for the city of Ottawa. In men's hockey, the Ottawa GGs host McGill on Sunday at 3 o'clock. Is that one in Montreal or is it here? It's here, isn't it? Yeah, so it's here in Ottawa. The women's team is playing the University of Montreal. So there you go, on Sunday at 2 o'clock. The Carleton women's basketball team is in York, and they're going to play York on Saturday at 2 o'clock, and the men's basketball team is going to play York on Saturday at 5 o'clock. It seems the schedule is pretty easy for both teams. They like to play before each other and such, so... we'll see what happens. The Ottawa GGs hockey team is supposed to be really good. They've got a couple CHL players on their team, and they've got a couple vets that are really good. And it's a mostly new slated team, though, so should be good. So now we're going to send it over to Josh to do an NCJHL update. Yes, Josh is actually at home, but he wanted to do it, so we're going to send it over to him.
We love Josh.
We love Josh.
Hello everyone, Josh McGrath here with your NCJHL update. Friday, November 26th, the Metcalf Jets are heading to the Slush Puppy Center to face the Gatineau Hull Volant. Both teams are looking to bounce back after dropping their last games. On Saturday, Gatineau Hull Volant will be on a back-to-back as they travel to Almont District to face the Inferno. The Inferno are looking to get things going as they've struggled thus far this season. South Grenville look to continue their dominance as they are set to play on the road versus the Morrisburg Lions, who dropped their last outing in a brutal fashion. And to wrap up Saturday, the Clarence Casters are continuing to chase that one seed as they square off against the Van Cleek Hill Cougars. On Sunday, Van Cleek Hill Cougars and Morrisburg Lions will start the day. The Cougars will make the trip to Morrisburg Arena. Puck drops at 2:15. A battle of the 1 and 2 seed as South Grenville will be on the road to face Clarence Casters. This one will be an exciting one as Clarence is right behind them on the standings. The Almont Inferno are traveling to Chesterville Arena to face North Dundas Rockets. And to close out the weekend, the Metcalf Jets make the drive to St. Isidore to face the Eagles, as the Eagles look to catch the Cougars and Rockets going into this back half of the season.
And in the EOJHL, the Armprior Packers will be playing host to the Athens Arrows at the Nick Smith Center on Saturday. The other games, we got Carleton plays going up against the Perth Blue Wings. That'll be a big game. Carleton's currently sitting at 14-2-1. Perth with Ben Laguille leading their team in points at 8-3-1. That'll be a close one to fight. And then the Richmond Royals will be hosting the Alexandria Glens. Both teams kind of looking to get going. Richmond 5-9-2, Alexandria 4-10-2. And that'll be at the Mauville Sports Complex. Sunday's games, we got the Valley Timberwolves trying to get their season going up against the Athens Arrows. Athens sitting at 8-9. The Valley Timberwolves sitting at 3-9-3. The Brockville Tikis will be going to the Whitewater Kings at Cobden Arena. The Brockville sitting at 3-8-2. Whitewater 6-10-2. The Ottawa Junior Canadians will be playing host to the Charlton Rebels. Charlton sitting at 7-11-1. Ottawa at 6-9. The Carleton Place Junior Canadians will be playing again on Sunday, this time against the Westport Rideaux. This game will be played at the Carleton Place Arena and Rink 1.
On to the CCHL for the weekend. This week in the CCHL, on Saturday, there's two games. In Renfrew, we've got the 3-14-6 Cornwall Colts as they're going to take on the Renfrew Wolves, who are 12-5-1. And then later in the evening, at 7:40, we've got arguably the game of the weekend. We've got the Pembroke Lumber Kings, who are 14-4-2, coming to Ottawa to play the Ottawa Junior Senators, who are 16-3-1, best team in the league. Should be a great game. Sunday in Kentville, we've got the Brockville Braves, who are 12-6-1, playing the Kentville 73s, who are 13-6-3. That should be another good game. And then Ottawa Junior Senators, they are going to go to Nepean, and they're going to play the Raiders, who are 6-13-1. That should be a bit of an onslaught. But you can catch that game on CKDJ 107.9. It's a 2:30 start. At CIHA Arena in Rockland, the Hawkesbury Hawks are going to play the Rockland Nationals. The Hawks are 14-5-2. The Rockland Nationals are the opposite. They're 5-12-3. In Navin, the Carleton Place Canadians are going to take a little trip over to Navin. 8-11-1 the Canadians are, and 13-6-1 the Grads. And then in Pembroke, still on Sunday, this is the latest game. The Renfrew Wolves, who are 12-5-1 right now, are going to play the 14-4-2 Pembroke Lumber Kings. That is your CCHL update for the week. Let's talk about it. Aaron, I know you didn't get to see the Pembroke game, or maybe you listened to it. I'm not too sure. Nepean, pretty good game. I mean, you lost 5-3. A defeating loss, I get it. You really wanted that. You were 4 points out of a playoff spot kind of thing. Nepean really wanted to win it. But what can you make of that score of a bottom five team playing a top two team?
Yeah, I mean, Nepean, they definitely have a lot of skill and talent coming through. And, you know, we saw it in the game that we did the play-by-play for, and looking at them being able to make Pembroke sweat for their win, I think that's another building block for them as they keep trying to get their season on track. So, you know, they still got momentum. They might have lost, but, you know, they're still able to keep playing well. And, you know, each week that they can just keep building, you know, you don't have to, maybe they're just peaking at the right time. Maybe they're just building up, and if they can keep going, they can carry it through.
Greg, what did you make of Nepean from the Navin game on Friday?
Well, you know, me and Tyler were obviously on the call for that game, and it was Tyler can quote me on this. It was just a disaster for Nepean. I mean, you could just tell Navin was a better team. They were faster. They were defending better. They were getting out on the rush. Their goalie, forget his name. What was his name?
Ben West.
Ben West. He was really good. I mean, positioning was really good all night. And obviously, Nepean started a 18-year-old goalie, I want to say.
Yeah, Nepean started no, he's not 18, he's 20, and he's been flip-flopped around a lot of junior leagues. He played, it wasn't the greatest.
Yeah, he wasn't very good. They put Shibley back in, and he actually played pretty well, I thought, for when they brought him in.
I will say, up from the third period onwards, Nepean won that hockey game. It was 7-1, and Nepean started to win the game in the second half of the game. I think Navin sort of backed off, you know. I mean, that's what happens, though, when you're winning, what was it?
Yeah,
when you're winning 7-1, the ice tends to
open
up.
I mean, they won the third period. They definitely did not win the game at all.
No, definitely not. 8-4 was the final score on that one. And, you know, Aaron, you're going to be on the call with me Friday.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you listening on the Saturday, this game has already happened, but you can catch me and Aaron Zerfus, as we're going to be in Carleton Place, calling the Carleton Place Canadians as they take on the Nepean Raiders. And there's another one on Sunday at 2:30 as the Ottawa Junior Senators are coming into town. I'm very excited to see them play in person because they are the best team in the league. But I'm also not very excited to see them play because I don't think the Raiders can handle the Junior Senators. We're going to see what happens. I think the Junior Senators are going to take it a lot more serious than the Pembroke Lumber Kings did. But should be a game, nonetheless. We don't know who's going to be on the call for that one yet, actually. I'm pretty sure it's going to be me. I'm not sure who else is going to be. So we will see. We will really see. It might be Greg. It might be Aaron.
What
it might be Josh. It's a Sunday game.
Okay, so not me then.
Oh, right. You're a football analyst. I forgot about that.
No, there's no chance.
All right, well, this has been the Press Box Junior Hockey Update. Greg, would you like to outro us?
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to the Press Box. Obviously, once again, only three of us here. Josh will be with us next week. Thought it was a pretty good show for you guys. We had some entertaining debates. The movies, obviously, I think that was a huge, you know, it was fun for us. You know, the show is fun for us, so we appreciate the support. And we will see you next week on the Press Box. This has been Greg Avgaropoulos.
Aaron Zerfus.
I'm Tyler Sear. You can catch episodes on Thursdays at 1 p.m. and Saturdays at 11 a.m. See ya!